Bored with Friends, episode 15.
Chaos Moose.
Awkward.
I mean, I'm not allowed to tell that story because Zach wants to stay on topic.
Stay on topic.
All right, well, we got a little off topic.
Again, 40%. I'm lazy and I'm a mooch. What I do.
This is not that kind of podcast.
Welcome to Board with Friends, the podcast about hobby gaming and taking over the universe. I'm Zach Dyer, and why are you adjusting the levels, Walt?
I'm just keeping an eye on them.
Oh, by the way, we're here to talk about a show, and we're back! We've been missing for a few weeks now.
Well, I guess we're gonna have to take control. That's not the We're Back song, actually.
No, it's not.
That's Take Control.
Is it We're Back
on Our Own? On Our Own is the name of that song.
As you may have heard by the dulcet tones, Devin Decker is joining us today.
That's
along
from Ghostbusters too, but this isn't a Ghostbusters episode, but I thought, like, tie it in, because I'm back.
I just, now it's like, so, like 20 seconds in.
And Walt is here too!
Finally! Walt has come back! Wait, we know...
You've done that joke before, too.
Have I?
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, God.
I don't even listen to the podcast, and I've heard you do that joke before.
Yeah.
And also, making a return after... how many episodes have you been missing, man?
I don't know. Two?
But Sean's back!
We found him in the cellar.
83.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. He was, like, kind of malnourished
I got lost on my way home from the post office, and then before I knew it, 2 months had passed.
Wow.
I don't even know why I went there.
That's a cool story.
I have no reason to go to the post office.
No one really does.
I just went there.
That's a good. I like that admission of I had no reason to be at the post office. I went to the post office and I got lost.
I mean, well, I was like, you know what?
Did they make you work? I mean,
well, no. I was like, you know where I haven't been in a long time.
Sir, what are you doing back here? I don't know where I am. Well, why don't you jump on the sorter
just
over there?
Sort some mail until you figure it out. It's a mind-numbing activity.
I thought about it. I'm like, man, you know what? I haven't been to a post office in a long time. I wonder what it's like in there. And I went there. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is just like I remember it. And then I left, and then I forgot where I was going.
Do you not know your address? Because if you knew your address, you could just write it on your head, and they'd take you home.
I didn't have a
pen. That's how post office
Without a stamp, though, would they do it? And how many stamps does that cost?
39 cents. It's probably 42.
I feel like they might weigh me, and then that... I probably cost a lot to ship.
If he doesn't fit in that one size
package... You'd probably be the cheapest person to ship in this room, I'll be honest with you.
Zach would probably be cheaper than me.
I don't know.
Zach's taller, though.
We'll figure that out after the show. Anyway, I'm Zach Dyer, and we're here to talk about board games.
Or the post office.
Board games!
Again?
Yes.
Again with this?
Again. Yes. It's like a recurring
theme
of the
show. You keep telling me that we're going to talk about something else, but every time I come on, it's board games.
It's called a rope-a-dope.
Oh.
I thought it was called Board with Friends because... Never mind.
So today I rounded up the guys, and we decided to play a game called Chaos Moose.
Chaos Moose.
It's like Osmosis really Jones, cool right?
No, not at all. It's
is
like...
it a portmanteau of chaos and cosmos?
No.
Yes. Actually.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
Sorry. I just like saying portmanteau.
It's funny that you mentioned Osmosis Jones, because the other day I actually brought that up at work. And didn't John Goodman play the pill?
No.
Who played the pill?
Drax was definitely played by Frasier's brother.
Okay, because
he's close to John
Goodman.
What is his name, though? Niles and David Hyde Pierce.
Yes,
okay, David Hyde Pierce. Well, then I wrongly guessed that it was played by John Goodman. For some reason in my head, I thought it was played by John Goodman. And
John Goodman played Hound.
The stupidest reason why I was wrong about that. Mm-hmm. No, that can't be John Goodman. He's too thin. I'm like, it's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon. It's not real. Question, did you think...
Wait, I would just like to ask a question. How did we get on Osmosis Jones?
Because I said...
Welcome to Board with Friends, everybody! 40% on topic.
That was my fault. I apologize.
Okay, I missed it.
So the game we're discussing today is Chaos Moose from Mirrorbox Games. This was a Kickstarter game from last year. And it's got an interesting story to it because it's actually based on a book. Whether you'd actually know that or not, I'm going to tell you now. The book was called Interstellar Pig, written by William Slater. Okay? I loved this book as a kid. Okay? It changed my life. That's not true. But it was really fun to read a couple times. Basically, this kid, he goes on a family vacation. He is bored out of his mind. He was pasty and white and didn't like sunlight, so he stayed inside while his parents went out to the beach all the time. And the people who went to the beach house next door to him...
Can I guess what happens? So this pasty white kid, right, he goes to the beach with his family, and then it turns out unbeknownst to anybody, the beach house neighbors are aliens.
Yes.
Wow!
Amazing, right?
That's the kind of thing that you could relate to, but, like, I go outside when I go to the beach.
I don't.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm allergic to sunlight.
That's why it's your favorite book.
Yeah.
This is why, yeah, this is why Zach related to a pasty white kid.
Like, wow, this guy doesn't like going outside either. I got a lot in common.
So the aliens...
I'm not the only one anymore.
The aliens are in search of a thing called the piggy. Giant space MacGuffin, or a little tiny space MacGuffin about the size of a rock. And
does it hang out with a frog?
No. And it is... The legend of the piggy is that every once in a while it hiccups. And when it hiccups, it will destroy the universe. And only the person who possesses it will save their home planet.
It's like the worst form of Tourette's ever. Just...
God, I'm dead!
Boom! The universe just blows up.
But... the aliens decide to teach the young boy how this game is played by actually playing a board game of the real-life game. So it's pretty cool. And I, as a kid, I always wanted to play that game. It doesn't exist, but I always wanted to play it. I just, you know, thought that would be a really cool game.
Exist.
So it was your
demise. Now, thanks to Mirrorbox Games and Chaosmos, it does exist. This is basically the board game version of the... game in
the aliens. It's
the game within the game.
The game within the game of the book. It's like Jumanji, only better.
I was about to say, this is your Jumanji, because as a kid, I grew up and I want to start Jumanji, and I want to play that game. Can someone just make Jumanji?
Who reads or watches Jumanji and is like, that's what I want to do. I want to destroy my house with jungle animals.
Oh, man.
Well, obviously, I didn't want, you know...
Oh, I guess you didn't think it through, right?
Like, I don't want... I know I was a kid. I knew what was real. What wasn't. I just wanted to play the game and see what other crazy things there were. Because, like, you saw the few crazy things that happened. I want to see what other crazy things could happen.
I guess that's Headhunters.
Plus, it was a... like, that board just looked amazing.
I was about to say, the game Jumanji was very well made.
It was a rolling
in the
game.
Movie?
I know they did make an actual board game of it.
Yeah,
it was really
my cousin had it. It wasn't very fun.
Yeah,
but
well,
the
that's
movie's
because
really
the
fun.
Stuff didn't
that's
come out of it.
Yeah, and it didn't have that cool mystical pool that had the words come out of it either.
Yeah,
like nowadays, that could totally be a thing.
It didn't have the magic
game. Yeah, the cards in there. All
right, so
Chaosmos.
So the question I have before we continue, and let me know if I'm getting off topic here, is how old would you say the book is?
We do have the power of the internet.
Okay, well, that's something that we can put Sean on. But that's just a curious.
What's the book called again?
It's called Interstellar Pig.
Interstellar Pig. Well, no, because I asked just because, like...
Interstellar Pig.
That's the kind of stuff that interests me. Like, how many years between this book happened...
Published in 1984.
1984.
Turns out Walt is faster than Sean.
Okay, so...
Well, Walt
has
a computer.
The year of Zach's birth, unless
Even listening to what you were saying.
No, the year of my birth was 1985.
Thanks, Sean.
No way, you're only a year younger than me?
Yeah. Older?
Yeah,
the
right?
best!
I forget how... There was a...
Whoa, thing. You're only one more math than I am?
Oh, yeah, okay, so and then it took, what, 30 years to become a game?
Yeah.
Essentially. Interesting.
But the game
itself... So it's 30 years in the making?
Obviously, it's
well,
not the same...
Well, that's just always
interesting. A game 30 years in the making.
It's not the same IP. They came up with their own story, their own, you know, creatures, their own aliens and stuff like that. But the general idea of the game is the same as Interstellar Pig. The game plays like you would imagine out of this book. You are an alien being looking for the Ovoid, which is the piggy, essentially. And you're traveling around the universe trying to find this creature, thing.
But it makes sense. It makes sense that it's called the Ovoid and it looks like what it looks like. Like it just made in my head.
Wait, I've been thinking about that the entire time we played the game.
Like, it didn't even occur to me.
Did it click for you guys?
Until he's like...
So if you're listening to this podcast,
it looks like an egg.
we try to stay family friendly, but go to Google type in the game,
I don't have them look up...
Don't type in Ovoid. Don't do that. Like I just don't do that. But type it in and look at the cards.
Look up the game.
Listening to this, you're interested in Chaosmos.
You know
which
what?
Just for it, Charlie Hotel Alpha Oscar Sierra Michael Oscar Sierra. That's how you spell it.
Yeah,
Chaosmos.
That was clever.
Look it up. Images,
you'll see immediately. You'll get what we're laughing at, especially.
Yeah, right.
And I didn't even pick on it that it was called.
I just didn't bring it because I thought it was too obvious.
this guy.
Anyway, Zach.
Anyway,
Gutterheads.
So the game is played by traveling around the universe searching for this. What's neat is each planet that you go to has its own little envelope. So You have cards with equipment. You have cards for, you know, just to help you out during the game, for combat, for anything. And you can put cards into these envelopes and store them on different planets. You can put traps there to mess with your opponents. You can put vaults to lock them out of those cards so that they can't get into the envelope at all. It's a game of, you know, a lot of strategy in, you know, who has the Ovoid, figuring out if you have it, how are you going to hold it with you? Are you going to hide it? Are you going to, you know, just try to play dumb and pretend you don't have it? It's just a really clever game, I feel. Like, a lot of strategy to it.
A lot of strategy, especially the movement type. I know that that's like, it didn't take me a bit to get it, but the fact that you move with the star points, I liked that a lot.
The action points? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, not the action points. Like, you get the three moves.
Oh, moving along the stars.
The movement
is
along the stars. I like that a lot. It really lends itself to the way that the board itself is constructed, because you want to make sure that they line up. I mean, if you have OCD, probably not to game to play. I'm just going to say it.
It is a modular board.
We had that kind of
issue
earlier on where people were trying to constantly get the pieces and...
Because they have to be lined up.
Yeah, because it's not lined up. If I jump to this star, how am I getting to that other star?
I know.
Well, to defend them, because I know you think that they're being overdramatic, I did miss a space because it wasn't connected properly.
Oh.
That's how he won.
No, because you guys corrected me and I went backwards. Spoiler alert, I kicked the crap out of these guys.
You did not kick that the last two times.
I know, and it was great.
It came down to all-out war.
Your spores have no effect on
the game. How did it go for everyone?
I feel like this game was a successful, you know, attempt to emulate what was in the book. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled to play it. This is my second time playing it. And I found it fun. Like, it was just really great. The combat system, for me, is probably the most fun, because you can choose to attack players or not. Mm. But when you get into combat, first you roll two dice. Each of you rolls the two dice, and you see, you know, what number you get. But what's neat is on the dice symbols, one of them is a mirror symbol. And if you roll two mirrors, you get infinity, and you automatically win combat.
Yeah, that happened one time.
And it happened one time, and it was epic.
But it was the greatest moment. And it really was. The first attack ever done in the game, but he was so hyped to... I mean, okay, so...
It was like, here's battle.
But we didn't discuss...
Let's battle!
We didn't discuss the fact that each character has their own little thing.
Yes, each character has... there's variable player power, so every alien has its own abilities. Not always. Okay. But I was Rune from some planet I can't pronounce, and his special ability was on my... when I take one action for movement, I get to move two spaces instead of one. So I could get accelerated movement over everybody else, and I thought that would be an advantage in the game. Turns out it wasn't. But it was fun to be able to do that as part of my strategy.
If it's any consolation, it annoyed me every time you got to move two spaces. Like, internally, I'm like, I don't like that he gets to do that. It feels like he's cheating.
I don't approve.
I did not like it at all.
Now, your character, I forgot what his name
Turtlesh,
was. Turtle.
From the planet Ob.
Yes.
Birthplace of the Ovoid. So as the
allegedly
last guardian of the Ovoid. I read my character, my flavor text, so I enjoyed it more. But as the last guardian of the Ovoid, I started with it.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thought behind that was, you're kind of starting yourself behind the eight ball at that point, because everybody knows that you have it. And I think I got to use it to pretty good effect.
You were able to use that information to devise a strategy that actually kept us from getting the Ovoid for quite a while from you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, another cool mechanic of the game is there's a countdown clock.
Yes.
And every time a turn resolves, that countdown clock goes down one. So there's a time limit to the game, which is nice. There's not a time limit to each turn, which is something we can cycle back to, because that is an issue that I had with the game.
We're not going to name names
right now. We're not, but it's just...
point fingers.
We're not going to talk... Well, we can point fingers.
Oh, yeah, all day long. It's audio only, so...
Oh, you know what? If he hadn't reacted, no one would have known.
It might not have gotten picked up on the mic, but I will say that it wasn't Zach.
Yeah, there's three people talking.
And I don't think it was me.
I don't know. Sean.
Someone's been unusually silent. Well, how do you feel about the game?
Aren't we going to finish talking about who all
our
characters
are? So just to finish what I was saying. So we started with 36 turns, so we would each get to play 9 times, which is still a lot for a 4-player game. 9 complete, you know, rounds. And you can start up to 48. It's the highest, or does it go up to 60?
46 or 48.
Okay. 40. Well, 48 would.
Yeah.
It was 48.
48 would make sense because it's the. Because
I remember being, it being confused as to why it wasn't 50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before we started playing.
Okay. So you know, the click down that the Ovoid didn't really change possession until well below 20, right?
Yeah, and then it changed several times too.
Yes.
Which
was yeah,
changed cool.
changed very quickly because once I got a hold of it, then you got a hold of it, then Sean got a hold of it, then. Then everyone.
Immediately
one of my big. It's not a big. It's a minor gripe with the game. Something I wish that they could have simplified was the turn count.
Mm-hmm.
Way too many. That board, like, why does it have to be each time it goes down one? Just make it one full rotation for one, and just make. It not so many
make it like a, you know like 10 or something.
I think it's so supposed to represent like a
it's,
ticking
you
clock.
Can, it's very easy to lose count if you miss it. It happened very often. We just continue on turn like oh wait did you move the dial
well yeah. You say that but again they started with 36 so if after a round of four it wasn't at the next
we could have just done
four,
that manually
yeah
if we wanted if we,
I,
if we were cognizant of it we could have just done that
yeah. But again the thing is that once we got down close to the end I was very cognizant of like, oh, there's only 7 turns left.
Yeah.
Like I need to start making moves. Like
I realized when we got that low that
yeah, almost over. Like I need to actually put all the stuff I've been sitting on into action.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up not necessarily a complaint, but the game was a slow burn action wise. We didn't really fight one another until we kind of had to. It was like, oh man, the game's half done. Well, and then that's when we started like making, which I get because so I don't even know if we didn't really get to this part necessarily. So essentially, Zach, you started with this. You go to planets, you explore the planets, you build out your hand, and then you use that to kind of challenge other people and try to without going into crazy amount of detail.
You do, but part of the problem with our game wasn't a problem. It was actually pretty cool. Was because of Devin's character. Starting with the Ovoid, we all knew where it was. Mm. Now, normally in a game, you don't have that happen. So you don't know where it is, so the beginning of the game is exploration.
Four is the maximum number of players, correct?
As of right now, yes.
Okay, so there has been an expansion. But there are 10 player characters. So really, passing it out, I mean, that was the thing I really liked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Pandemic, just to use another game that we have played together,
yeah.
where you draw randomly to see who your character is,
mm-hmm.
the fact that you're still given a choice because each character is dealt out 2 character cards, and then you get to choose. So I was given my guy who starts with the Ovoid, or a character who could retrieve from the Void at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So... I liked that. I liked having that choice.
The Void,
still.
Just to clarify, being...
Not the Void.
The discard pile.
The Cosmic Pool.
Oh, the Cosmic Pool, yeah.
I don't know. Should we go back and actually discuss how the game is played?
I was going to suggest we go over combat.
I can break that down for you. So, basically, you start your turn, you get 3 actions. And on those actions, you can move, you can go explore a planet if you're within orbit of it. You can trade out cards to that planet when you have control of it, and you can engage in combat if you are close enough to a player to do so. You know, combat lets you fight with them. You roll the die. You have modifier cards. You know, the equipment that you pick up from the planets and that you start with to add to your score. And whoever wins, with the highest score wins the combat. They can choose to banish the player to any planet, or they can look at the player's hand and actually take a card from them. Could be the Ovoid, could just be a useful tool, could be something they've been using against you, or something to stop them from using things against you. Which
interesting
is cool.
That you look at me, Spore Master Flex.
Oh man, it was awesome.
How many spores are in the game? Is it just the 3?
I don't know, but I had 3 and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But a lot of the equipment cards, they combo together or they complement each other, and there's counters to everything. So, like, I had cards for these weapons called the Spores. Which, if you have one of them, it doesn't count towards anything. But if you have more than one, each one that you have counts as +1. So right. I had 3 of them, so the other spores each for...
So each one counted as 2.
Each one counted as 2, basically, when you added it all up. And it was pretty awesome, and I was actually cleaning everybody's clock with it until Devin managed to get the counter to that, which was the spore disinfectant spray.
And again, just to discuss, I loved... Like, that was in my initial planetary dossier. I had that. And then once I saw you cleaning everybody's clock with these six extra points, I'm like, I got to get back there. Because nobody's taking it. Like, nobody else has realized it's there. We got to get it. And everybody had been to my
planet. Nobody realized it except me.
Yeah, the thing was, Zach went to your planet first to try to find the Ovoid. He left and didn't take anything. So, like, okay, it's not there. It's on Devon. So once everyone knew it wasn't there, no one... I really feel that, like, at least I kept forgetting to travel to planets to actually look for equipment.
Well, you couldn't have gone to my planet.
Yeah, you...
That was the other problem.
That was the other thing, yeah.
I was trying to go to planets where... So I shouldn't have been able to be in part of that last round then.
No. Oh, yeah, that's true. He should have.
Because I attacked the planet on the last round, but it didn't matter. It was completely pointless attack.
It was done. I already won. It's fine.
But yeah, each alien...
I already dominated.
Each alien character that you play has a, you know, they have their home planet, but they also have a planet that they are not able to go to unless they have specialized.
I actually
equipment.
Really liked that mechanic. Well, yeah, that's really cool.
It makes,
I like that it's specific. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was just gonna say because whether it's like atmosphere or ground, there's something that your composition can't handle there. Mm-hmm. So I also thought that was cool. Back to you, Walt.
What I like about that mechanic before we go back to Walt is that I could not go to Walt's planet, Walt could not go to my planet, but there was only one piece of equipment that would allow my character or Walt's character to go to that other planet.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's another thing where conflict could resolve.
Yeah.
So if I'm able to go to Walt's planet, and Walt's like, well, I need to go to Devin's planet, he could chase after me. So it's not just the Ovoid that becomes the MacGuffin you're looking for. There are secondary MacGuffins that exist.
Oh, absolutely. The other neat thing, we kind of mentioned it earlier, was the Cosmic Pool, which is a set of five cards that when you are normally... Six cards. When you're normally on your home planet, you can trade out with the Cosmic Pool. So you could take one card out of your hand, put it in the Cosmic Pool, and take one out of it. I was spending a lot of time, because you had gone off with the Ovoid to a planet that I couldn't go to because of my physiology.
Yeah, someone read your cards.
Yeah, it was pretty annoying. And then I went to, I think, two or three different planets looking for the equipment that I needed, hoping that I'd find it. And then I just happened to glance at the Cosmic Pool, which was kind of a kick in the rear because my equipment that I needed was sitting right there.
Yeah.
But I was able to find a card that actually let me access the Cosmic Pool without going all the way back home, which was pretty cool.
The Cosmic Pool, I felt, was underutilized in our game.
That's the only thing
I'd say. But part of that is, and no offense, I think these are much better. I recently played Seven Wonders Duel, and those cards are super tiny.
Mm-hmm.
That was my biggest complaint about it. This one, I felt like I couldn't read what was in the Cosmic Pool. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I should just focus on what I have. Like, why bother up there? But again, if I had seen that your magic spacesuit that
you might have
taken
from me,
it would have been something that I would have taken because I knew if I go here, now I only have to worry about two people instead of three.
Yeah.
It's the reason why I tried to get back to my home planet once I had the Ovoid again, because I knew that Walt couldn't follow me because I had our space.
I think with familiarity, you know, playing this more, that becomes less of an issue. But yeah, for your first time playing it, that was kind of a problem. I had completely forgotten to look at the Cosmic Pool.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so mad at myself when I just happened to glance at it. Because I read the card that I was thinking about taking. I forgot it was it was some sort of rabbit. I can't remember what it was called. But I was able to basically use that to trade with the Cosmic Pool. I said, oh, I have to go to my home planet to do that.
Or,
and then I happened to glance at it and saw that that was the equipment I needed. So it worked out.
Well, just to speak to the fact that we didn't really use the Cosmic Pool all that much. So it wasn't just out of like an inconvenience to go back to our initial planet until like the second to last round, like full rotation round of the game. I didn't even know how to access the Cosmic Pool. I was like, oh, because like one of you guys traded something out. I was like, wait, what? And like, oh, yeah, you can trade when you're in your home planet. I'm like, oh.
Which is weird, because I was playing Mario Brothers when the rules were explained.
That rule.
And I still know
And you were sitting there.
I don't think you explained that one rule.
It's also listening to you. And also, just to do it, love turn guide cards. I think my favorite thing about all these board games that we've been playing, and a lot of them haven't made it to the show, and that could be some other episode if I come back. When I come back. Not of course. That's sort of rude. Is I like having that because it reminds you of what it is. Because that is written as the last thing trade if on your home planet as a free action. Swap a card from the cosmic pool. Mm-hmm. So you always have that available to you. Yeah. I think because it was super underutilized, that's the other reason why you didn't realize until there were like 8 turns left.
Yeah.
And it was, but again, I feel like I didn't use it not because of the inconvenience of going back to my planet. I didn't use it because it was inconvenient to have to read those cards. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so far away from me.
That's a whole table away.
But on the to that point, you won, Sean, without using the cosmic pool.
I know. It was great. No. I did win. I would like to make a victory speech. So in this game,
you get to when in this game when the universe dies and you have the ovoid, you get to reshape it.
Yeah. Any way you'd like. So basically,
Again, why it's probably called an ovoid.
Oh my god.
Well, you know what? I mean, to be, it did look. It looks kind of like an egg.
Yeah.
Which might have been what they were going before they drew.
All right, give your speech.
Something else. So when I recreate the universe in my image and you look upon me as your new god, I want you to smile and know that once upon a time in a different universe, in a different reality, you were not made in my image and you had a terrible, horrible...
No good, very bad day?
No good, very bad day.
Only if you were named Alexander, though. Everybody else is okay.
But now that you are in my world...
Wait a minute. So I look like Clocknid?
I couldn't remember his name. I knew it was Clock something, and it was like a little weird robot dude.
I feel dirty.
So you and I...
Clamping.
Not to cut you off, but I'm going to.
Yeah, I was just going to talk forever. Well, I had no end to that.
You and I had pretty normal characters. Like, we had special abilities and stuff like that, but that was it. You know, Devin had the cool ability, like, he started with the Ovoid. But Walt's character, I actually found the most interesting.
Because Walt's character, he was like the Reaper from Mass Effect.
he had a completely different agenda than everybody else.
Or the Reapers.
Yeah, my character's whole thing was he wanted to bring about the destruction of the universe. He didn't think anyone should reshape or reform the universe. It should just end. He had a miserable life, apparently. Just wanted it all. I didn't read my character's
not anymore.
I stopped at the name The Destroyer and what his abilities were, and I didn't read any further.
Your planet is no longer a lava ball in space.
Moose.
Yeah, he's just really kind of sucked. He watched episode 3 get filmed on his planet, and after that, he's like, you know what? This universe can die.
You know, that joke would be funny if he didn't create everything using green screens. I'm still kind of mad at you, George Lucas. If you had gone to his planet.
Yeah, so my goal, the whole mission was, the whole game was to basically get my hands on it and then stash it as far away from the rest of you as possible and try to not let y'all in where it was. Unfortunately, it resulted in me sitting there trying to read all the cards I had because I'd never really thought I'd get my hands on it. So I didn't create any plan of what I was going to do, and then started thinking this really convoluted plan that I thought would work, and it immediately failed because Sean had an ability that I didn't know he had, because I really thought, basically what I did is I got the Ovoid and then had a Hyperloop which sent it to another planet. I sent a vault to another planet, sent nothing else with it, just a vault, thinking, okay, someone else is going to go look in the vault. It was a magnetic vault, which meant they could see the cards, but they couldn't
take any.
They couldn't take any. Sean, however, had the ability where he could look. He could look and take whatever he wanted anyway. Sean saw fit to just tell the whole world. I guess everyone was very mad that it took me forever to come up with this. He's just like, it's not here. Which meant everyone was now on me, and the first person that attacked me won, and that was Zach. So Zach took it from me.
So just to backtrack a little bit. So when you travel to each planet kind of has an envelope with cards in there, and you can kind of go through those cards and add whatever ones you want to your hand. There are two types of cards. One of them is a trap card, which I'm not going to do the Yu-Gi-Oh! Voice yet. I'll do that later. And then and then the other one is Vault. So basically those things are blocking you from accessing the cards on that planet. So if you have a trap, you activate their trap card, and it sends you back to your home planet. The vaults, there are different vaults, but if you that have a key, you can open them with a key.
That was good.
But my little robot dude, he could R2 the vault, so I didn't need to, I didn't key. So I can just get in there and do it up.
Oh, R2.
That's not more like BB-8, but okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm just saying. So yeah. But apparently when I was looking inside of, after I opened up the vault, is I was really tired. I was like basically holding the cards. Like out, yeah, like everyone could just see what they were, and I'm like, "Oh, guys, it's not here." And then they're just like,
"Yeah, we know."
I'm like, "What are you talking about?" It didn't even dawn on me that I was like showing everybody the cards. And that's my story.
So you all just say chaos most on them, I think.
So, like, combat in the game, I don't think we've really gotten into combat. Combat kind of works. I found it very reminiscent of another card combat game called UFS, Universal Fight System, where each card has an ability. Well, most cards will have an ability on it, but they'll also have a value to them. So you can either use the ability on that card or the value of the card, and sometimes both at the same time. You roll dice, and then you add the dice together and pair them off against each other. Whoever has the lower is on the losing end until the person counters that by adding more cards, which then increases the dice roll. And you go back and forth. Yes. And there's some really cool combats we had. I think Sean and Zach had the best combat of like the game, because it was just counter after counter.
Zach had those damn spores, and then I just... literally my entire hand, besides the rewind turn one, or the fast forward through turns one, and to let me attack from far away, we're just all weapons. I was like, I'm going to...
Yeah, you had a lot of weapons.
When I was going from planet to planet, I would just take every weapon I could, and I'm like, I'm just gonna overpower whomever. I'm going to try to anyways. Because I kept losing to the spores. So I was like, I'm just going to get weapons. And when I have weapons, Zach can go away and I can win. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, you also got the spore cancellation cream from me.
I did get the spore cancellation cream
really
from you.
That's what really turned the tide.
Turned the tides of battle.
Oh, man.
To address it, though, I mean, like, I know it was strategy and all that, and sorry to do it, but it took me out of the game, that big turn of him doing it. Like, I forgot kind of what we were doing, and that's why I just think maybe a turn limit, a turn time limit would help the game in future sessions, because it was like... walking away. It's like when I went to go see At World's End, or The World's End. It was The World's End. And the projector broke with 30 minutes left in the movie. It took them 20 minutes to fix it. And then, like, those last 30 minutes meant nothing. Because all the stuff that happened before it had been forgotten in the 20 minutes while I waited for them to fix the projector.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's basically called analysis paralysis. That's what they call it in the gaming world. And he had a moment of it.
I really overthought it. I don't think that's something many people are going to suffer from.
But I think that also, with this game, gets resolved with familiarity with the cards again.
And
I mean, he was taking time to read the cards.
So. Yeah, I think if we played it again, it would move faster. But I think the faster it moves, the more the ticking clock feels like a factor and everything like that.
I like the functionality of the clock.
I love the
clock. I think it's great.
I agree.
Having a set term limit makes the game have that sense of urgency. Like,
exactly.
Oh, man. Like, especially when we got to those last 9 or 10 turns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had gotten the ovoid from you.
Yes.
And then I had managed to get... I got the ovoid from... I got it from Devin.
Yes.
And then you attacked me, and I managed to take that card that sped up the game.
Yes. And then you got the ovoid?
No, I already had the ovoid.
Yeah, you had it.
Yeah. I had it, and I ran. Yep. And I thought, this is great. I just got to beat out the clock to get past turn 8. Because the card that I had would, you know, fast forward the game.
Fast forward the game by 8 turns.
8 turns, which would end the game, and I would have won.
I had that card the entire game, and I was holding on to it the entire game. Then I didn't even... Well, I did get to use it.
Yeah. You did get to use it,
On turn two. But that's the thing, though. So we talk about urgency and all that. And again, I'm not harping on you. I'm sorry if you feel that way, Walt. Because, I mean, you were upset. But it's not that. But it's just the fact that, like, even as Zach said, if he had taken all the time to plan something like that, the universe probably would have ended.
Yeah.
Because you don't have... So that's the only thing. Like, I wonder if advanced rule. I know that there was an advanced rule set or something like that.
Yeah, we didn't play with the advanced rules. There's bases and other things that you can put into the game. We didn't really get into that. We played the basic game. Now, this is the second time I played it. The first time I played it, I played with my mother and my nephew. And the exact same winning conditions came up, basically, yep. where I had that card. I had the Ovoid, and it was like turn 7. I said, I win. And I put that card down. It was great. Because I won. And I had a good time doing it.
But again, people like to win.
Yes. But the, you know, the game that we played was completely different from this. And we played a couple rules wrong, and I'd like to thank the designer of the game, because he actually, when I posted this on Facebook, a little kind of mini impressions review of mm-hmm. the game on our Facebook account, and he reached out to me and clarified some of the rules. Like, and I was able to use that information to teach you guys the game a little bit better. So it was very nice of Mirrorbox Games to do that. I forgot where I was going with this rant. But, you know, the game itself, the second time through for me in this experience, I really enjoyed it. And
well, of course you did. Yeah. I mean, like, and I'm not going to... You tried to get those spores. Yeah. Every time you saw spores, you took them.
I did, yes.
Because you knew that it would be sort of an OP move. And it's not OP. It's just, it's smart. Like, well, and you don't know that you're going to come across them or anything like that. But, you know, the way that you played was obviously way more cerebral than someone who's going to be playing for the first time.
Yes.
So you keep saying that with time you're going to get better at it, mm-hmm. and you're the proof that that is the case.
No, he's not. I won. I don't know why I'm acting like such a jerk in this episode. Oh, my God.
Because it was perfect.
Here's your piece of the aggro crag.
Yes, I get the aggro crag! No, but I just to double back for 2 seconds, I'm going to defend Walt because it's the first time we played the game. It's always going to be longer the first time you play
it. It always is, yeah. I wasn't shocked by how long it was taking some of the turns because it wasn't just Walt. His was the longest, obviously. But there were...
I think some people might be exaggerating how long
it
it definitely took way too long.
It was like seven or 8 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. About that. But like, but some people think it's like a half hour.
It's been 25 like Batman minutes. Versus Superman.
I think the whole
I feel like I could have watched it.
I do want to say that like the reason I think that round felt as short as it did is because everyone else's rounds were going by so quickly.
Well, a lot of us were also
mine was the
ahead.
First that took
well, I had all weapons. I didn't have any context in any of my cards. Just go kill stuff.
Like, I would wait to the person before me and start looking at, okay, what's Devin doing? The only time he tripped me up was when he just said, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
See, the other problem I had was that I kind of skipped the whole learning the rules segment because I was watching Devin play Mario.
Yeah.
And so
sometimes
I was just,
learning the rules helps just, you play a game. Just F, little pro tip right there.
Yeah, pro tip. So, learn the rules of the game.
Yo, pro tip.
Play the game.
So what I was trying to do is watch everyone else to learn the rules of the game as we were playing, and it didn't entirely work. And I think I've officially outrun my welcome of the, oh, I don't know the rules. I'm gonna ask a really stupid question, because it only really worked once when I tried to beat people into a trap that wasn't there, and someone just happened to stumble upon it later, I think. But
yep, that was me. It was the worst moment in the game. Like, God dang, there's a trap in here. I thought we were safe.
But, you know, it's like my one thing. I think everyone finally caught on that I'm not as stupid as I come across when I play games. I like to play that way. So now I have to adjust my strategy a little bit. Because I have a horrible poker face. So I always have to kind of play up whether or not, am I being
But you have
serious?
A great dumb face.
Lucky your love, lucky your car. That's us to a T.
So this was a Kickstarter game. What did you guys think of like the overall quality of it?
Didn't feel like a Kickstarter
game.
Didn't
know it was a Kickstarter game.
Yeah,
when,
it was,
when you led off the episode with that, I'm like, liar. He's a liar.
It was a nice looking game.
Yeah,
I love
really
the
good.
Miniatures. I love all the unique aliens. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of cool stuff in the design. It has to be said. I mean, they didn't get to use the IP for whatever reasons there were. Maybe they didn't. I don't know what the story
to make
was behind
more
that.
More money.
But they also were able to make, you know, their own universe.
Yeah.
Which is going to lead to, okay, yeah, it may have been inspired by Interstellar Pig, but now they got their own thing that they can do. Kind of like with Venom Assault when we talked to those guys. Like, they were liberated.
When are we playing
by
that
it.
One?
When it comes out, we'll
review
that one. No, I haven't. We haven't gotten a copy yet.
That's what I've.
Once we get a copy, though, Venom Assault, I'd love to play that.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys were great.
That's totally getting played.
But anyway, Chaosmos. It's
Chaosmos.
Like all the aliens. Like I look at those figures, and they're very, very unique looking aliens. I feel like they don't look like generic, like you'd expect some of them.
I don't know what mine was.
Yours was like a clockwork spidery creature kind of thing.
I couldn't tell if it was a bunch of little creatures or one weird looking creature.
Yeah, it was kind of like a Magnum like robotic, bite.
Yeah.
A
little yeah. Bit. Yes, actually, that's
like,
exactly.
That's like the best way to describe it.
A Technicolor Magnemite.
Yeah, Devin Decker, Pokemon. The thing that I will say is having like, and I'm just going to reference Ghostbusters here. Construction of the figures seemed much higher quality. Mm. Like, I wasn't afraid that I was going to break anything.
Yes. Yeah, they were that soft rubber, kind of like Spec Ops was.
Yeah.
But they felt, like, a little bit sturdier than Spectre Ops, maybe. Mm. Yeah, they were nice miniatures. And
very
all
nice
the components.
Miniatures, yeah.
The cardboard, it you know, it's nice and thick. It didn't, you know, get messed up or bent or anything like that. The artwork was, you know, pretty good. You know, the planets and stuff like that were, I mean, they're just planets, but they made them all look interesting and unique, which I really
if
liked.
I had to give one criticism on that, it's I wish the names of the planets
were a little
were
easier to
white.
Pronounce. Yeah.
I wish it were, no, not pronounced, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
They're the color of the planet, and that's the thing. Like, I love that it's color-coded and everything like that, but
yeah,
because
so a little dark.
They're all in black fields,
yeah.
So and the, yeah. There's a dark purple world, I could not tell you the name of.
You know, it should have been.
Or the blue one. The blue one was kind of dark blue, too.
Ulu. But that was right near me.
Yeah.
It's in your neighborhood.
The brown planet, like, I never read the, I couldn't read
yeah,
the
because
name.
It was
yeah.
a dark yeah, spot on a black field.
Also, for me, it was all upside down. I actually, my one grievance with the game was the end scenario. The way the, I thought the goal of the game should not be just to have the Ovoid. I thought the goal of the game should be have the Ovoid and your planet.
Go back to your home planet?
Yeah, I thought that should be that should be the end scenario for, like, everyone's wanting to, are you just trying to save yourself, or are you trying to save your planet?
You save yourself, and then you get to rebuild the galaxy.
Yeah.
Are you traveling around with your planet's Angelina Jolie or Ryan
well,
Gosling
to,
or something?
No, so, I get to
you get to recreate the universe.
I become a god.
The old boy is basically like a universe egg.
So it's essentially Genesis. It's
yes.
like the Genesis
yes.
device. It just goes off
yes.
whatever's there is erased and
yes.
is replaced
yes.
with whatever I feel like.
Correct.
With.
So you get to recreate your entire planet
filled with Angelina Jolie's
like
and
Phil,
Ryan Gosling's
not a good guy.
The cutest babies alive.
What the heck was I going to say?
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's it. So I mean, what
I
they could do because all the cards. Mm-hmm. The files, the dossiers that you've got, the envelopes. That is the color of the planet and then white. Put the field that it's in the color of the planet and then put the words in white.
Well, that was
it was that.
Or have there be like a white border around the letters. So if you still want the planet to be purple planet and you want it to be in purple writing...
Well, to
put like a white border around it so it's a little bit easier to see.
I mean, that's just
the
ability to read
the
name.
Oh my god, that is
that's
literally looking for a complaint.
Yeah.
But that's
worst game ever. I couldn't read it.
But zero out of zero.
Planets were color coded with the envelopes,
right? And that's
so
the color coding is very
easy.
Very good. I love the color coding gets all sorts of stuff, and the people from each planet is the color of their planet, which you know that's I love that. I think that's great, but. I would have gotten deeper into the world if instead of, I'm going to go to this world, I'm going to go to, but it was a lot
yeah.
of...
It would have been nice to be able to say, like, I really enjoyed saying Svav, or however you pronounce that planet.
Yeah.
It was fun to do. I just went there so I could say it, actually.
Click-clock.
Yeah, click-clock
like,
was a good one.
I'm going to click-clock.
You know, something might have helped is if on your card they gave you the dictionary pronunciation... That would be cool.
They
so that way, if it's only on your card, so only you know how to pronounce your planet's name, so you'd be kind of a jerk to everyone else. Can I go to Click-Clock? It's pronounced Click-Clock.
We actually had a moment like that because I started making fun of your planet because apparently we were enemies in the story.
You, again, flavor text that I
know.
Didn't need to love my game character.
It was great.
I was like,
there was a lot of flavor
space.
Text in this game.
Yes,
I mean,
there's a lot of attention to detail, a lot of beautiful, beautiful things. In the game, but again, that's if I had to, we're talking about just the quality of it, you know, and the reason for that is probably because printing cost wise, if I'm printing a bunch of these, if I just use the color of the planet, it's going to cost me a little bit less. So, but you could still do that and then have white on everything.
But production wise, the quality is
good
there.
Quality.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now it's my understanding they announced an expansion for the game.
Cool.
It's supposed to add more player count. Probably adding more aliens and more tiles to make it a little bit more interesting. but I feel like I would want it, you know, just to see. I don't necessarily want more players unless they add in, like, a more cooperative element, like teams, which I think there is a variant in the rule book for
would
it.
Would be interesting. I mean, like, that sort of, like, a sort of alliance came out when Walt got his hands on it because, like, well, he's going to end the world. He just wants to watch the world burn. So we need to stop him.
Yes.
Which is why Sean...
Even though
like,
it didn't matter, because, I mean, if one of us had it, it's still one player wins, but it just felt story-wise we had to stop him.
Yes.
Which was pretty cool.
Right. Hey, look at that. It's Klocknin. I don't know who that one is.
Oh, you're on the website for it, yes.
Yeah, I'm just looking at all the different...
Dangerous choices.
Chaosmos.
Buy now. Give me your
money.
So,
everyone's... thoughts on the game? How'd everyone think?
Yeah, let's do a round table.
Well, I can't buy games because there's just nowhere for me to put them. I have too much in my house. But if I got rid of some stuff, I'd definitely buy it. I'd want to play it with
people.
Guy. Mm. It's the kind of game that I would want to play with people. I want to play it again. I would love to play the game again with the knowledge that I have. I'd like to play as a different character. I'd like to pick as the other character that I could have had so that searching for the Ovoid became more of the game. I feel like that could have, that'd make the ticking clock function feel something. I have to go everywhere. I'd like to see what the asteroid belt thing is. We didn't get a chance to use those.
Yeah, I want to add
very
in the more advanced stuff.
So that you can't use that way. And I think then the warp zone, because the warps kind of feel a little bit redundant. Because it's just like, well, you get to go to the other side of where you are. It's like Pac-Man. But if you're using that Pac-Man thing to get around an asteroid belt, then it makes sense to me. So, like, I'd love to see where the game goes. Of course, the expansion would help for that. I think more players would be fine. But then it just becomes a question of, can I find six people? Because even getting four people...
I just thought of something really cool. I'm not sure what's in, like, the advanced game. But the fact that you use black holes as a means of getting from one end of the universe to the other, I think it would be really cool because time is, like, the thing that you're trying to stop. Or is it you're trying to beat? If you got closer to the black holes, time sped up. Like, if on your turn you're near a black hole, it went two times. Just because it's just one tick, and there's so many ticks that have to go by.
Kind of adding, like, a risk element to it.
Yes, where, like, okay, if I go to these outer planets near, like, if your turn ends on either, because there's four planets that are right next to black holes. If your turn ends on that planet, time speeds up for you. Or if you're... if your turn ends and you're on one of those black holes, just to go through the black hole, it takes 2 points off.
If you go
making it kind of a... It negates a little bit of time. Like, you're losing time when you go through a black hole, and it affects the whole table.
The only issue that I would have with that variant is...
it would affect the other players too much.
Yeah, like... that's
yeah, they would lose turns.
I would lose a turn then because of your action.
Mm. Yes. And that's kind of one of those things where you're like...
so you're not getting... you're getting rewarded, I'm getting punished. So that's why that mechanic...
Because if you had the Ovoid, you could just keep on going through the black hole.
Yeah, it would be very thematic to do that, but game balancing-wise, I don't think that would work. But it's a cool idea.
No, it is. Mm-hmm. And the second he said that, I'm like, oh, that's right, because time, nothing escapes from a black hole.
Yeah.
But then it's just like... but then, like, it sucked, because I didn't get my last turn because Sean got to play that thing on his thing. Now, that's fine. That's a mechanic, and I understand
okay, that. So let's do the reverse. Time doesn't escape a black hole. So if you're on one of those planets that you're on, time doesn't tick for you that turn. One turn.
That I kind of dig.
So being on those planets, especially if you put, like, my home world near there,
right?
You can't... like, I would want to stay away from my own home planet because... I'm trying to get the game to move quicker. You're all trying to get the game to go faster, to go longer, so you can have more time to get this thing before the universe.
But again, for balancing, it rewards you with an extra turn for every time that you do that. Technically.
I think that kind of mechanic would be a result to, like, some of those one-off cards.
Yeah.
You know, something to that effect. Like, there could have been, not necessarily a counter, but an opposite of the card that you used to end the game, Sean.
It gives you eight more turns instead of eight fewer turns.
Yeah, or just more turns.
Like a black hole time cipher thing?
I like that, yeah. To get eight more... that two can be used before.
And who knows, we didn't necessarily play with all the cards in the game. There may very, very well be one in there I didn't notice. So.
I thought, to counter what Devin was saying, there could be something in there, like a counter to what you guys had where you're trying to speed the game up to the end. Yeah. What if there's one that negates that by using
like
black
holes? Like, we still
haven't
found the
black
blocks
hole.
It if you play
if
the,
you're
like,
on a black hole,
Sean could have played
play
the card,
card
and you stop it. Yeah.
But you have to be on a black hole in order to use it, and then you negate Sean's ability to use that card. Time escape. You know, oh, I siphon your time advancement into...
This. But, you know, like, we're discussing ways to make it better. I think it's good the way it is.
Yeah.
I really do. It's just, you know, if they are doing an expansion... you have the website up. Is an expansion up? Is that what that second
thing is? The second thing on here is Chaosmos Eternal Guardian. That comes with, I guess, a more advanced-looking clock. Better pieces. Instead of being... punch outs for flags or what, it actually has pieces for them.
Yeah, that's the collector's edition.
It's like $200 bucks.
Okay.
So.
Well, no, that's, I just didn't know because I see two things in the store. I didn't know if it was already up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so for an expansion, yeah, those type of mechanics would be interesting. And then again, like, you're not going to change the clock. I mean, 48 still gives everybody, it's divisible by 6, so it could still work that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I liked it. I did enjoy the game. If I had space to buy and play board games in my house, currently it would. But, you know, if I ever move out of my parents' basement, then yes, this would be on the short list of games to get.
All right, Sean, as the winner, what did you think about the game?
Well, firstly, I'd like to remind everybody again, thank you, Zach, for acknowledging that I was the winner. No, I'm kidding. So I like the game a lot.
I like it so much. I won,
especially because I won. No. So I did find. Oh my god, I'm kind of most of kind of what Devin said, I guess. But I really did enjoy the game a lot. I liked the mechanics. I liked the way that the combat worked, especially where it kind of is. It reminds me of, you know, the initial. It's not the same as Risk, but like you're going against the die rolls, and then you have all these modifiers that you're throwing on there. So it kind of reminds me of damage stack. It's a different type of game, but damage stacking in Sentinels of the Multiverse, where it's like you have your normal attack, and then by the way, I have this modifier, and this modifier, and this modifier, and before you know it, you know you're doing crazy damage. You're not doing crazy damage. You're just trying to win the roll, but. Just stacking the damage, and it is very satisfying when it's like, okay, well, now I'm at 10. Well, now I'm at 15. Now I'm at 20. Haha. Right. Stinks to be you. I win.
I like that you hold on to them. I like that you like, it's not one time
you don't just dump them all out.
And the ones that are make sense, like the grenades and stuff like that. Okay, they blow up. You're not getting that grenade back.
But if I have a spear, I can get my spear back.
But I did like the way that all of that worked out. I did like having to go to planet to explore. We knew where the Ovoid was most of the game.
Yeah.
So that did kind of ruin some, not ruin, but it maybe took away from the exploring of the planets. The only reason to really go explore the planets would be to build out your hand to do better. But, I mean, with multiple playthroughs and with, you know, 4 people between 10 characters, we're going to have different... permutations of the game every time. Not every time we play, but most of the times that we would play.
Like, yeah, if we play again, I mean, and just to pull this team, would you guys be all right with removing those 4 from the game?
I like
and
my
dealing
guy
out
lot,
that way?
Yes.
I understand that. I like my guy, too.
I'd be down.
But I think so that Zach's always going to pick that green guy. Zach likes moving twice during an action too much.
Actually, I mean, I like that it's randomized when it's handed out. I wouldn't necessarily pick him out.
Who'd you
lineup.
Play the first time you played?
I played as, I can't remember the name. He basically, his power was, he was homesick. So he was able to go home whenever he wanted as an action, no matter where he was on the board.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So it was a useful tool if I wanted to use the
cosmic pool. Yeah.
Or if I just wanted to get that part to that part of the galaxy. Like, I think the way we had set up the board the first time I played it, my home planet was dead center. So if I was on the far end of the board, it actually helped me leap to the middle of the board, and then I could get over. So it was a useful tool for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, just in closing, I liked it a lot. It was easy enough to kind of, we could pick it up and play it relatively competently on the first go. So even if you're not somebody who's necessarily crazy into hobby gaming, this game is easy, is accessible enough that anybody could probably play it as long as you're willing to listen to the rules.
And not play Mario during them?
I mean, you know.
I didn't pick him up at all, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, that speaks to accessibility, is by not even reading them or hearing them, you tell them, like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, so, you know, it was... Yeah, that's me.
All right.
What about you, Walt?
I'm very meh on the game.
Okay.
It was a good enough time. I was glad to have people over and playing games with again. Yeah, I guess I would recommend it if... I don't know, nothing in it really screams to me, like, oh, I have to have this. Mm-hmm. Like, given the choice between this and the variety of other games that we've played, the myriad of other games we've played, this would be probably in the lower and bottom of the list. Right above that Pocket Universe you made me play. What was that one?
Tiny Epic Galaxy.
Tiny Epic Galaxy.
Yeah.
Really didn't like that one.
Love that game.
It was good.
I wanted to like it. I really did. But... And I liked it enough.
Okay.
Hesitant to really recommend it because there's nothing really there that grabbed me. The art is good, but not... It's kind of weird. Very bizarre looking art that I just can't get. I don't know. It's very weird.
Okay.
I'm very mad on it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I hate to be the one person that doesn't like the game.
To be fair, you had a crappy hand. You couldn't really do anything.
Yeah. Maybe upon playing it again, and I have better luck.
Would you try it again just to see? Because that was your first time playing the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So I'll go set it up.
Yeah, let's go. No. All right.
Sean's like, get me out of here.
We'll leave this running and we'll come right back, folks, okay?
All right, so second gameplay, first announcement, Devin Decker won.
Don't you dare lie. I am the undisputed board with friends champion of this specific game.
I've won the first game I ever played.
Yeah, but none
with.
Of us were playing with you.
That's true.
You were playing with your mother, all right?
She let you win.
She let you win because she loves you.
I would just like to say that
my nephew
I really, really think it was inappropriate that you barred me from playing that second half of the game after I only took another 8 minutes to decide what I was going to do.
It was 18. I don't know what time. You must have been close to a black hole and thought that was slower.
You stole it right out of my mouth.
Because it was 18 minutes. I watched a full episode of Rick and Morty, which is 22 minutes. So I'm giving you 4 minutes.
Zach, what do you think about the game?
I really like the game. I mean, I think I would love the game even if I hadn't read that book as a child.
I want to read the book now. I'm not going
to
lie.
It's a good book. I have a copy of it.
I have to agree with that.
It's a fun book. And
you have to, don't you?
But the nostalgia of playing it, like when I played the game with my mother and my nephew, we were calling it the piggy the whole time. Like we were just, you know, referencing the book. We were having a grand old time with that.
I have a question. Said, yeah. Is it a literal pig?
No. It looks like a little rock with a crude drawing of a pig on it. Like a pig's face. That's all it is.
Right.
And it's pink.
You read some bizarre books.
My mother's a librarian, so shout out to my mother.
I like mail order.
Word to your mother.
No, shout out. She'd slap you for saying that. But, I mean, I feel like even without that history of it for me, the book, I mean, the game is, it's a really good game. Like, it's very thematic for me, and that's the kind of game I like. Like, the story behind it is interesting. You know, it's got this sense of doom about it, and it's just really cool theme. And it's Ameritrash to its core. I mean, you are just, like, you're chucking dice for combat, you're, you know, doing all these sorts of strategic moves, you're planning things out. I mean, it's nothing like other games that I have that I do enjoy. I enjoy a lot of games. Like, I mean, that's
yeah,
why
you're
I
a board gaming podcast.
I know, right?
If you're like, I hate board games.
Yeah.
Games
well, that's why, like, you know, I did this roundtable thing because, you know, I can respect Walt for not liking the game. It's okay not to like a game, you know, and it stinks when you don't, especially if you're the one who bought it. But if you do...
Oh, I cannot like the game. I'd like to revise my prior statement. No. I really did enjoy it.
Yeah.
And again, I want to stress, it's not that I dislike the game. It's just that I just do not like the game. You know what I mean? There's a difference there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's,
yeah.
It's a medium.
It wasn't you didn't have a good time playing it, but that doesn't mean you can't try it again.
Who was that?
I have no idea.
I know, some just hiccuped and the world just ended.
I think it was Sean. So overall, I thoroughly enjoyed the game. I thought it was a blast to play. I really liked the strategy of hiding things on the planets and, you know, the misdirection that you can, you know, pose. It was great, you know, right at the beginning of the game, you know, Devin had it, but he went to two different planets and, you know, he played with the cards and we didn't know if he put one in or not. So you have to make a decision, like, should I check the planet or should I go after Devin? I checked the planet, and I gambled wrong. He had a trap card in there, but also it wasn't in there either. So it was a great move on his part.
It felt so good to do that.
I thought it might, yeah.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
So, I mean, overall, I feel like it was a good experience. And I do have to thank my mother for letting us borrow the copy of the game, because it's hers.
Thank you so much, Celeste. You're the best.
I know.
Thanks, Zach's mom. I will call you Celeste because I know you personally. And I respect you. And I call you Mrs. Dyer or Zach's mom.
Wait.
I had to.
Your
pay
mom's named after the
bill.
Pizza?
No.
His mom is the pizza mom. That's why they can afford board games.
None of that's true.
Your mom is a good liar.
Your mother's Mama Celeste?
No.
From the pizza?
No.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I never actually put that together.
That's not surprising to me.
Oh, come on.
All right. So.
Mrs. Dyer.
Are we good?
I think we're good.
Solid here, yeah. Thanks for letting me play the game, Zach.
Absolutely. We should do this again sometime.
Yeah, it would probably be a good idea, seeing as how we run a board game podcast.
We should also record episodes more often and, you know, release them on time.
Yeah, that might help.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to go to the post office.
For those wondering where podcasts have been, I do feel that much like it took 8 minutes to do my turn, apparently, the reason that I'm also responsible for there being like a month gap in podcasts is because my wife gave birth to a second child. Now a father of two.
So, congratulations.
Congratulations.
I didn't know.
With the power of math.
I just thought you didn't want to be on the show anymore.
I love being on podcasts.
Podcasts are fun.
Yes.
That's why I have another podcast. You guys should check it out. It's called Talk Wrestle Talk. If you're into wrestling, or if you're not into wrestling, because lately John and I haven't really been talking about wrestling that much, because wrestling is so bad. We talk about movies and do other stuff.
So it's more talk.
Well, I mean, it's a talk show. In which we eventually will talk about wrestling and Raw, but the opening hour of the show is typically us talking about what movies and stuff we've seen.
Oh, so it's a podcast.
I'll also be
why don't you get on one of those fancy podcasts that stay on topic that they promise, you know?
We don't have a topic, so
board games.
Yes.
No, I mean on our
no,
show.
No, I know what you mean on your show.
To be warned though, because I know that this show is family friendly. Talk Wrestle Talk is far from family friendly. We talk about a lot of disgusting and deprivative things on that show. Is that a word?
It is now.
I'm claiming it. It's a word. And that's the last you'll hear me on this podcast.
Primitive? So it's the opposite of primitive.
If enough people use it, it becomes a word.
That's how words
Did you know
works.
That literally. Literally means figuratively now, and the dictionary literally means figuratively.
Oh, that's depressing.
Right? Just like how the poop emoji.
That is literally the worst thing I've ever heard.
And on that note.
Just like how the poop emoji is now the poop emoji and not chocolate ice cream. Because it was chocolate ice cream.
I.
That's why it's happy.
I'm
Take
sorry.
Take us home, Zachy D.
All right, we're wrapping it up.
And that wraps up this episode of Bored with Friends. If you have questions to ask, grievances to make, or comments to deliver, feel free to contact us at boardwithfriends42@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @boardwithfriend, or like us on Facebook. If you enjoyed our show, check out some of the other great podcasts on the Friends on a Couch network, like Talk Wrestle Talk. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Ice Wee Skate is getting pretty thin.
Water's getting warm, so you might as well swim.
World's on fire, how about yours?
That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored.
Hey now, you're an all-star.
Can the game on, go play?
You skipped a line.
I don't care. We're having a good time. Having a little sing-along here.
Jesus. Chocolate starfish.
No.
You can keep on rolling, baby. I'm just kidding, I'm not going to do that.
What time it is?
Rolling, rolling. All right, partner.
Oh, man, one of my most embarrassing
keep on rolling.